Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Welcome to The Drive, Big Al and D-Mac. My main man, D-Mac, is out, and Orlando Franklin is good enough to sit in with me. Orlando, it's always good to have you around here, but before we get going, I need you to know, man, you're rolling with the big dog.
I appreciate being out here. You know, I got the call this morning. I texted my wife right away, and she was extremely happy. Yes. I was, too.
He is I am him, slim with the tilted brim. Holla at your boy.
I am him, slim with the tilted brim.
What's your name,
bro? My name is Big Al, and that's Orlando Franklin sitting next to me, man. What a weekend. First of all, I got to say, congratulations to my Colorado Rockies. My Colorado Rockies found a way to flip it around. And with that being said, man, that was a wonderful way to treat the Dodgers in your backyard. Every game was exciting. Every game was late inning drama. And with that, I say, way to go.
Ball four, ball game over. Rockies win in walk-off fashion again. Literally on a walk. 4-3. The Rockies take 3 of 4 from the Dodgers.
And with that,
McMahon hits a high fly ball. Deep center field. Did he catch enough of it? Yes, he did.
Man, I am into this. Oh, you know, I got to just give you a little historical background here. We have never won a divisional title for the Colorado Rockies. And I was around here when this organization was born. And to see it get to this stage, man, I'm really excited about it. A game and a half back. And we are looking for a lot of good things to come with the Colorado Rockies. I am there with you. I'm riding with you, Colorado. I know there's a lot of Bronco fans that share the exact same sentiments when it comes to the Colorado Rockies. And last weekend, we had a football game that we got to talk about.
Yeah,
that
but real quick, could I tell you
go ahead.
How I my experience with the Colorado Rockies?
Sure, I'd love to hear it.
I've only been to one game. I mean, I lived out here for 5 years so far, and I've only been to one game, and I still have nightmares of the game that I went to.
Why? What happened?
Peyton took us all out as
oh,
a whole
right.
offense.
I remember that. Yeah,
we went out there as a whole offense, and we had a couple key players on the defense there at the game.
I remember what happened.
Yeah, exactly. I had never been to a baseball game before, so I never really understood. So they came up and they're like, "Hey, Peyton, we want you to say a couple words." And he was like, No, I don't really want to do it. Orlando, do you want to do it?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'll do it. Why not? You know what I mean? I'll get up there and say a couple words." And I started saying, you know, thanking them for having us out there. And about 10 seconds into me talking, I get a pie in my face from Eric Decker.
I know.
And I was just like, what in the world is going on right now? And like Eric's trying to run away. I'm able to grab him. And then so I grab him and wipe off all the whipped cream off my face and spread it all over his face. And I, because I had not been to baseball games enough in my life, I didn't know that that was actually a thing. So I was, I know Peyton was always a big prankster and a jokester, but I didn't know that that was coming my way.
Oh, man, I remember that. And I remember that look on your face, man. Yeah, you look like you about to do some real damage to Decker,
so
man.
I mean, I haven't been to a game ever since. I mean, I still wake up thinking about it.
Oh, man, let me ask you something, man. Let me ask you something. In that instance, man, knowing that you had been set, how long did it take, first of all, before you found out that you had been set, up?
As soon as I got the pie in my face, I looked around and I saw everybody was laughing, right? And I saw Peyton over there chuckling, and I was just, thank God, like, there was a couple guys behind me, so Decker's trying to get away, and I was able to grab him. And then that's, like, I knew immediately that I'd been set up, and I was like, dang, P, like, why are you going to do me like that? And he's like, I mean, you were an easy target. So he got me. They got me that day. And I mean, it scarred me for life, because I haven't been back to a baseball game ever since.
Well, look,
probably
man,
would never go.
You and I just go one day, and just go and relax, man. It's a great time. I mean, if you haven't been since that day, you're going to find yourself around a lot of good baseball fans, and the weather is so temperate. I mean, it feels good to be there, and being out and about in the middle of summer. You know, you went to college at the University of Miami. Not many days where you could just go and sit outside and watch a good baseball game.
That's
not
a little outside. Too hot out there.
Right, a little too hot. Yeah, and I'm from Houston, and if the weather was unagreeable in Miami, it certainly was the same way in Houston. But here in Colorado, man, when you can go and both of the ironically, both of those places now have dome indoor stadium for their baseball team.
Yeah.
But we don't need that here. We can just go to the game and just enjoy it. We'll do that. We'll do that before the summer is done and before our Rockies clinch.
You're going to have to promise me that I'm not going to get a pie in my face. That's the only way I'm agreeing to go.
Well, trust me, it won't be me. Now, look, usually I'm the biggest guy in the room, but, oh, man, I'm talking to a big fella who understands his game of football and played on that offensive line for many, many great games and many great experiences where I got a chance to see you grow, and you were very honest about your performance all the time, almost to a fault. But I love that about you, that you were honest about your assessment when things were good, when things weren't as good.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you about your assessment of the game Saturday night.
I seen a team that isn't sure of their real identity as of right now. I saw them come out and immediately try to throw the ball and not really try to settle that offensive line down with the run play. I mean, they came out and immediately they go three wide from the first play of the game and they throw the ball to DT, which when I was playing, and I know how I would have been, when you list out those, you go through that script the day before the game or the morning of the game and you see those first 10 plays, I would have been going to my offensive coordinator and saying, why are we not running the ball here? So I don't see the confidence in that offensive line yet. And that's a big question. It's been a question for the last couple of years, and it's going to continue being a question.
Well, when you start talking about the way that they start the game, you know, that is something that is an eye-opener for me, because they started with the three wide receiver set for what reason? What were they trying to say? Were they trying to say that this is our best opportunity to move the football, or this is the way we look at our 2018 best offensive formation? I mean, that's always a question about how you start a game, especially the first time another team gets to see you.
I think it was more of an aspect of this is our best opportunity today against the Minnesota Vikings because of that defense that they had last year. They were a top five defense in this league last year. So I believe that they broke the huddle or they went saying, hey, we got to have these three guys. I mean, I think Minnesota's front seven is outstanding.
So?
But aside from their secondary, I think they only have Xavier Rhodes.
So I
think that's why they went out in that set, because they felt like they could expose the other corner across from Xavier Rhodes.
Well, here's what I'm asking you. So what? They have a great front seven on the defensive side. And I'm quite sure you're thinking, as an offensive lineman, let's see what they got. Let's see how we can get.
Yeah, I'm right there with you.
Right at them.
Yeah, let's go at them. That's what I'm all about. That's the type of player I have always been. But that's why I think it's a confidence thing. I don't think that we have as much confidence in this offensive line right now. I mean, I'll take you back to 2014. We started the game in the same set for about 10 games that season, and we ran the same exact play. We ran a dive every time. And that was the first play of the game. We knew the first play of the game. The opposing team knew the first play of the game. It was just kind of like, hey,
let's settle in.
Yeah, let's give the offensive line an opportunity to come off and hit these guys, one, and let's tell them, we don't care that you guys know the ball is going in the A gap. It's your job to try to stop us.
Did you like the fact that it was drawn up like that to
absolutely
start the game?
Absolutely. It was just an attitude play, and it got you going right away. And we always knew that's the thing that we don't know right now with this Broncos team. They don't really have an identity. With our teams that I've been in here when I was here in the past, our identity was, hey, we're going to run the football, and then we're going to take a shot within the first drive to try to get in the end zone, and we're going to see how quick we could get to 35 points. And our vets are going to rest, and then we're going to put in the younger guys to develop them. Because 35 points in this game, you win football games. You
no
score
doubt
35.
No doubt. But that's, you know, you're also talking about playing with the arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks in the history of the game.
That's true.
And Peyton Manning. So it's a different barrier here. We don't quite have the same firepower at that position, but I think we have a very good quarterback. But what we saw out of that team was different. It was not the same energy of training camp, because everything in training camp has been sharp. It's been crisp. It's been on target. We saw Valdir jump off sides and put us in a situation. We saw Andy Janovich, you know, not complete a catch. And we saw the third down pass. The first third down pass of the year went to Courtland Sutton. Yeah. In that situation, it doesn't feel like we game planned. It almost felt like we were going to Courtland Sutton no matter what defense they were in and no matter what set they were going to be in defensively.
Yeah.
We were going to Courtland Sutton because we want to see our best player in training camp 2018 make a play.
Yeah, you want to get his feet wet also. You want to get those jitters out. You know, Courtland Sutton is a very young player, has huge upside to him and has playmaking ability, but you just want to get him to kind of get settled in and get that first catch. And I think that's why they honestly went to DT with the first pass of the game, because as we know in previous history here, when you get DT involved early, I mean, he then becomes involved often. So, and that's what you want out of your number one wide receiver. So I feel like it was designed to go to Courtland, where it kind of should have been, hey, let's just go through our progressions and let's try to get a chunk of yards and not just try to get the rookie going.
Unfortunately, we had some bad news coming out of the game. Safety Jamal Carter is done for the year with a torn hamstring. And with that, you know, we signed a guy who was with the Colts, who was the first player to be ejected due to a helmet rule in the NFL this season, Thomas, to come in and replace him. That is going to be something that we're going to have to pay close attention to it, this new helmet rule.
Yep.
and how it's being disseminated against the guys that are on defense. Personally, I saw a play on third down and five. It was third down and 10, and on third down and five, the Broncos defense was on the field and Justin Simmons made a stop, but the referees felt like he was targeting towards the head area and called a penalty on him that was a little bit for me, it was a little bit frustrating, because it looked like the receiver was protecting himself and the defensive guy was just trying to get him on the ground. I think what's going to happen this year is that we're going to see more arm tackles in the NFL, more chest and arm and keeping the helmet out of it. Do you like that?
I don't like that. I think what they need to do is just be able to review all these plays. All these plays are going to be,
That's a good idea.
To be able to call New York, or they always say they have a guy in New York, they have the experts and stuff like that. And you're able to review these plays, just like in college football. When you go helmet to helmet in college nowadays, those guys get ejected, but all of those plays are reviewable. So I think that's what they need to come into, because I think when you're just, now you're talking about these arm tackles, you're going to take the physicality of the game. The reason why I started playing, I don't know about you, Big Al, but the reason why I started playing football was it was the only sport when I was growing up that I literally could be as physical as possible and people were going to cheer. And the more physical I was, the more they were going to cheer. So I feel like they're starting to take the excitement out of the game with all these new rule changes.
Well, the new rule changes, I do believe, in the long run will help this game, because I know you want to be physical and I know you want to put the helmet on people. That's different from an O-line, D-line perspective, because I think the contact is...
We're physical from the get-go.
Yeah, from the get-go, but a full run at somebody from the secondary position and from the receiver position, to be quite honest with you, and that contact that must happen at some point... We have to find a better way to legislate, I guess, discipline across our boards. And I think you just came up with the greatest plan is to have that reviewable, because those moments in the game will happen consistently. And every game that I've seen so far in preseason, we've had at least one of those calls.
Not only that, it's game-changing to get that penalty.
Right.
I mean, you're talking about potentially getting a first down to be backed up, getting out of field goal range. It's game changing. So I feel like you can't just put that decision on the refs right there in real time. You got to be able to go to the booth and review these plays.
And with that being said, we have my main man, Adam Schefter, on the line. Adam, it seems that we're going to have some issues this year with this helmet-to-helmet rule change in the NFL, or should I say unnecessary roughness, if you will.
Well, Alfred, Orlando, how you guys doing?
Doing fantastic, my friend.
You listen, I think that there's going to be a big adjustment here for the NFL. Everybody's getting used to the new rules, seeing how it's rolling. And there's going to be an adjustment period for players, for officials, for coaches. And it's going to be a lot of getting used to for everybody, I think.
Well, how do you – you know, Orlando made a suggestion that this should be sent back to New York, where New York can legislate this. Have the NFL even gone down a discussion about having a central headquarters to review these plays?
You know, I'll be honest with you, Alfred. The NFL is coming to visit ESPN Thursday. We're going to meet with a bunch of officials and have everything explained to us. I'll have a much better knowledge talking to you this time next week than I will this week. So I wouldn't want to guess. I think that they've discussed a lot of things. They're trying to figure out a lot of things, and it's an adjustment for everybody. And we'll see how they decide to handle it.
Adam, there's some. I think there's a little bit of breaking news that's happening here in Colorado, and it's only early in practice. As practice goes on, we'll get a better idea about what's happening. But there looks like there is a change between the number two quarterback and the number three quarterback. It looks like Chad Kelly has surpassed Paxton Lynch. Would that be a surprise for you?
Absolutely not. I mean, let's be very clear. To me, it became clear on one night. I don't mean to overreact to one game. They cannot go with Paxton Lynch. You just can't do it. I mean, you saw it. So if Chad Kelly's taking the reps as the number two quarterback, that would come as absolutely no surprise to me. I would expect him to take the reps as the number two quarterback. How could you watch that game the other night and think that Paxton Lynch is somebody that you can count on? You just can't do that.
Well,
I know it's one game. I know it's one game. So, and I hate to read too much into any preseason, but I'm reading 2 years and one preseason game into that. And in my mind, they can't depend on the guy. They just can't.
Adam, with that being said, you did spend the first-round draft pick on him. Have you ever?
I don't care what they spent. You know what? Listen, you know, there are plenty of people who make plenty of bad investments. Alfred, if you bought some real estate that was a lemon, wouldn't you want to get your money out of it while you could just get and move on?
Yeah, I would. Except the money has been guaranteed for the quarterback for those years that he's under contract. You just say, just go ahead and eat it, huh?
Yeah, I think it's one more year. I think it's just this year that's guaranteed. His contract's not fully guaranteed next year.
Yeah. Again, you know, when you miss on a pick, and they've missed, you take the medicine and move on. And let me ask you a question: you're going to keep the guy on the roster, and if anything happens to Case Keenum, how do you think they're going to feel about putting Paxton Lynch in the game?
I got a question for you, Adam. Do you think that Chad Kelly did enough to be the second-string quarterback, or
they should still go look for a
quality backup quarterback, a veteran backup quarterback like a Teddy Bridgewater or even like a RG3 and to bring that a type of player in like that?
Well, I think the price on Teddy Bridgewater would be too prohibitive right now. It'd be my guess for a guy that's on a one-year contract. So that's a tough one to pull off. RG3, different conversation. There'll be some other quarterbacks that I think come loose, different conversations. But in this particular case, I don't know that Chad Kelly's done enough yet. Again, to my point, it's one game. And while he looked good and impressive and strong, it was just one game. So you give him more time in the preseason to see what he can do. And if he can play at that level, then maybe you do take a chance. And you say, you know what? We've seen enough from this guy. He's got some magic. And we're going to keep him as the backup quarterback. I don't think they've seen enough from the guy yet to know that. But I think what we saw the other night was encouraging from Chad Kelly. He looked like he could play.
I think he deserves it personally. I mean, just an opportunity to go with that. All the twos. I mean, that two offensive line where there's going to be a lot of guys on that offensive line that's going to make this team. And there's a lot of guys that have played a lot of football. So I think he deserves it just to see, hey, he was with the threes. Now let's see what he could do with the twos.
Agreed, Orlando. Look, the guy looked like he had something. Okay, so now you want to see if he can continue to do it the rest of the preseason. If he continues to show up the same way, make plays like he did the other night, he looked like he could play quarterback in this league. Paxton Lynch has not looked like that. And I don't know how many times more they have to see that before they're ready to move on. And the fact that Chad Kelly is running as two and Lynch is three. It's zero surprise. How could you realistically put Lynch in a two on this day, knowing that we saw what we did the other night and knowing what we've seen for the last 2 years?
Adam, you have a unique perspective because of your relationship with this great city of Denver. Bronco fans have started a GoFundMe page to cut Paxton Lynch. Now, look, I know it's all in fun and people are playing around out there, but I just don't remember another situation where the fan base were as upset with a quarterback as they are with Paxton Lynch. Do you remember another situation that's even similar to this?
There was a period of time where they were upset with Brian Griese at one point in time when he tried to replace John, which was a job that anybody would have struggled to do. And I don't know why everybody's so upset. Paxton Lynch was not ready when they drafted him. He just wasn't. And because they traded up to get him, there was a certain expectation that's unfair to Paxton Lynch. It's just not right. Okay? The Broncos made a move that if they hadn't made the move, the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones would have, and they would have taken Paxton Lynch in round one. And so they took a guy that had talent, who so far hasn't developed, who so far basically has allowed the pressure to kind of get to him, and it hasn't worked out. But nobody should be angry. There should be no anger directed at him. There's disappointment. I get it. People aren't happy. I get it. But the kid's trying.
Right.
I mean, what are you going to do?
Well, I guess
if we go back and look, first of all, the track record of first round picks that hit, what was it 50% maybe? And so this looks like it's going to be on the short side of the 50%. And that doesn't mean that he couldn't go into another city another time and grow up and become a quarterback, but the signs aren't encouraging so far. I would never say that it's over for the guy in terms of achieving what he'd like at the NFL level. But it doesn't look like it's going to work out in Denver for many of the reasons that you just said. The fans are all over the guy. The expectations are too great on the guy. Too much pressure on the guy from being a first-round pick that the team trade up to get. There's guaranteed money. Okay, great. It didn't work out. Everybody can move on. Let him go on and let the Broncos go on with their search for a backup and give it another opportunity to Chad Kelly, see if he can get it done the way he did this weekend.
Adam, my friend, it's always good to catch up with you, man. It's always fun to talk to you, and I'm quite sure we'll have many days down the line where we can have some great conversations.
Look forward to it, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
That's Adam Schefter, our ESPN NFL insider. Coming back is a big three at 3:30. A lot of good things came out of that game, and some of them not so good. But the big three at 3:30, we'll vet some of those ideas next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 120-0716.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Body Armor Sports Drink. It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three, presented by Sam's Number 3 Diner and Bar.
The Big Three at 3:30 is easy for me to start off with. There's movement at the quarterback position for the Denver Broncos. Chad Kelly steps into the position of the number 2 quarterback for the Denver Broncos. Is that the right move, Orlando?
I think, yeah, he's well-deserving. I mean, Chad Kelly, he's a guy that, from when I've been going out to training camp, I've been out to about 8 or 9 practices. He's a guy that I've seen out there every day early, and I see him every day late in practice. So he's a guy that wants to get better. I have yet to see that from Paxton Lynch, who was a first-round pick, and he's the guy that you drafted a couple years ago that you wanted to be your face of your program, but he doesn't look like he's willing to take the steps to get better. And Chad Kelly, since he's been drafted last year, he has been.
Well, with that being said, I agree, you agree, bongos.
Three!
Okay, so my big three is Devontae Booker is not getting it done right now at the running back position. We have
interesting.
Yeah, so I mean, we have him there. And last week, if you talked to me going into this game, I would say, hey, Devontae Booker needs to be the starting running back. But here's the issue now. that he went in there and he does not look good in the pass protection game. And that's why I've always believed that he would be the starter coming up, because you have all these young running backs that don't know how to pass protect at this level. And he went into this past weekend's game and did not get it done in the pass protection.
Well, I tell you what, that's good that you remember that you mentioned that, because there was a young man that was playing for the Minnesota Vikings at the running back position in a reserve role by the name of Rock Thomas, who was getting it done for the Minnesota Vikings. Certainly, we don't have a guy that looks like Rock Thomas as our starter right now. So I would agree with you that there may be more pressure put on that starting running back position than maybe ever in the past 4 or 5 years. And we've seen a lot of crazy movements from this guy to that guy. But now I think we have a clear understanding that it may be Royce Freeman who may be that starter at the running back position day one. You agree or disagree?
The only issue was last week I would say no, because Royce Freeman doesn't have that experience. He doesn't have that full-speed game-time NFL experience of picking up the blitzes. But as of right now, you would have liked to have came out of that game and seen that Devontae Booker was so far away in his pass-blocking abilities than these other younger guys, but you did not see that. So because of Royce Freeman's ability to run the ball, you got to give him that opportunity.
Bungos.
Three.
Big O, I got to tell you, the thing that I saw out there today that is going to be seen a lot this year is that Kirk Cousins was throwing at Yadam. Everybody that the Broncos see will be throwing at their third cornerback, yeah. And that is going to be Yadam wearing number 41. Do you think that he held up? Do you think that he will hold up as a third wide at the third cornerback position?
I don't think so. I mean, as of right now, he looked horrible the other day. And that's what you're going to get. You're going to get teams that are coming. They're not going to go to Chris Harris. Yeah, they're still going to try Bradley Roby because he's not proven in this league. But if you go a three wide receiver set and you put in Yadam, oh, I'm going to go at him all day. I'll tell you one thing. We used to play when Patrick Peterson was young, and we used to play the Kansas City Chiefs, and we had the GOAT back there, Peyton Manning. He would tell us, yo, tell the receivers, DT, I'm coming at you all day. Whoever number 22's on, I'm coming at them. And he wanted to expose them. So I believe as of right now, that's how teams are going to look at it. You better believe the Chicago Bears are watching the film from last week, and they're saying, hey, whoever number 41 is on, we're coming to you.
Could be an issue. Bungos.
Three.
So I'll tell you this, Al. I was watching the game, and another takeaway that I had was when they broke the huddle and they had a tight end out there, Austin Traylor was the starting tight end.
Yes.
And, I mean, I've been seeing him do some great things in training camp. Do you agree that he should have been in that starting role?
Absolutely. Austin Traylor, to me, is the muscle. When you have an offensive line that is looking to create movement, you need to have that tight end anchor.
Yep.
Austin Traylor certainly is the guy that anchors that offensive line. And not only that, he can also catch the football. So, yes, I like it. Didn't you like it?
Yeah, I liked him, and for exactly the same reasons. Not only can he block in the running game, which you want a tight end to do, but he's able to run. He's able to come out and go run those routes and catch the ball. And that's what we kind of been missing these last couple years. You had Virgil Green here that was always a big blocking tight end,
yes,
but wasn't so good in the passing game. And Austin Traylor, I feel like he brings both dynamics to the game.
Bungos.
Three.
The last thing I'll have is, we saw breakdowns in the Denver Broncos run game Saturday night. When you see Murray galloping for 21 yards, you see him turn around and take the next carry for 15, 16 yards, you know that there are some gap issues on the defense. I don't quite think it's a physical problem yet, but we have some defensive gaps that are not being taken care of. Is that an easy fix, or is that a tough fix?
I think it's an easy fix, because a lot of these guys are coming off of a 5-6 month lapse of not tackling.
But so did the Minnesota Vikings. They didn't look like that.
How do we know that they're not involved in tackling drills each and every day? I've been out to training camp a couple times, and I've only seen the Broncos go for 2 to 3 periods where it was, hey, we're going to go full speed live and we're going to scrimmage right now and tackle these guys
to the
ground.
So what does that mean? Does that mean that we give them a pass for not being able to tackle?
Here's the thing. The last year, the run defense was a top 5 run defense in this league. We returned all those guys and got some guys. It's not like we're missing anybody. So I believe they will be fine. I believe they're just knocking off the rust. They started off slow, and you don't want to see that from your defense. But I just believe, I have to believe, that this defense is not going to get any worse.
You don't have to believe everybody. That. You don't have to believe that.
Of course I have to believe it. You have everybody returning. So you have to believe that. You got a healthy Derek Wolfe that hasn't been healthy in a couple years.
True.
Von Miller did not play. Dominican Pecos up there. He's just a guy that's in his 13th year that's as strong as an ox.
Yes.
Gets it done. And then you have you played your first round pick in Bradley Chubb. So, yeah, you need to work on some fitting aspects and how he's fitting and stuff like that. But as the preseason goes on, that's when they're going to get their tackling reps. They're not going to do a lot of it in practice, Al. And you don't want these guys to get hurt. That's why they're not going to do a lot of it in practice. But as of right now, I don't think it's something that we need to worry about and say, hey, the house is burning down.
I tell you what, man. We're going to call Bungos there.
Three.
And I tell you what, man. When we come back from break, I heard you with this nonsense Sunday morning saying the exact same thing, that what we saw was no big deal. On the other side, I'm going to tell you why it was a really big deal that we couldn't stop the run.
Okay.
Next on The Drive.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Here's third down. Bit of a high snap. Slow to a muff. One in the end zone. It is caught for the touchdown. It's Chad Beebe. It's a 9-yard scoring strike. The Vikes made that look easy.
World, Aretha Franklin not doing so hot. The family is asking for prayers. And us around here, we're just looking for a little respect. Orlando, would you agree that that is fair?
Yeah, absolutely.
All I'm looking for is just a little respect.
Yeah, that gotta have that respect.
Stand, baby! When the Broncos go out and give up 147 yards rushing, you say what?
I say that it's preseason number one. And I say that we got to go in to practice this week and do more tackling drills. We have not been doing that in the last 2 weeks that training camp has been open. Since I've been out there, I have not seen a lot of full speed live drills where you're getting guys to tackle, so you're able to get those right fits and bring those running backs down.
Okay, let me put it this way. Okay, starting running back for the Minnesota Vikings in this game, okay, was Latavius Murray.
Yep.
A guy who was should have been league MVP from a few years ago when he was playing with the Dallas Cowboys. A great player.
Yeah.
He averaged 10.8 yards a carry.
Yeah.
When is that okay? When is that okay?
It's okay in preseason number one.
It is.
Yes.
If you were the head coach of this team and you were, or the defensive coordinator, you'd be cool with 10 yards a carry?
Given the fact that I know how little tackling drills we did.
Oh, you yes. Gotta be kidding me, dude.
I mean, obviously you wanted your team to go out there and stop the run.
What if you're
it's football. You want to stop the run.
Hold on. Let me put this in reverse osmosis. What if you would have been out there and you're the offensive coordinator and your team gave up 8 sacks? Would that have been okay?
No, that's not okay.
Why?
Because you're blocking every day. That a person,
playing defense every day.
Okay, an offensive lineman and a defensive lineman going against each other, you're doing it full speed live every rep from the day training camp starts. I'm going against a defensive lineman, and he's trying to get to the quarterback. You're working on that craft. The Denver Broncos, in the 2018 Denver Broncos, have worked on tackling as a team probably 2 days since training camp has started. The offensive line and defensive line, you work on not giving up sacks each and every day. So they need to add more.
That is such a bad argument, dude. That is such a bad argument. How about this? How about those screen plays that netted over 100 yards for the Vikings? That's a team play that's mostly led by the defensive lineman turning around and running to the football and getting position, not giving up a 69-yard play to Rock in the passing game. Rock Thomas had another 69 yards in the passing game.
I totally agree. They're supposed to be able to recognize, and that's recognition. You got to be able to recognize the screenplay. I just don't think that we could come out right now and say, hey, the house is burning down because these guys gave up four for 43 to Latavius Murray. These guys haven't tackled enough yet. So as a head coach, VJ, and the defensive coordinator, this week we got to do that. We got to go into drills. And I understand why they don't tackle, Big Al. The reason why they're not tackling because they don't want to get these guys hurt. We're trying to make it to the season. But now you got to realize, you got to say, hey, after these stats came out, we got to do more.
What you were looking at weren't missed tackles. What you saw was guys running through open holes. We have gap fit problems, okay? You had Murray go for a 21-yard game and then top it off the next play on a simple zone, simple front side zone.
That's straight X's and O's, though. That's straight X's and O's, the scheme.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that we have problem tackling, or are you saying that we have problem
I thought we had problems tackling. I thought that's what we were talking about.
No, you said that I said we have problems. I said we problem. You said
you're saying gap control.
Yes, it's gap control. We had a double tight end formation. Yeah. Bradley Chubb is sitting on the left side. We have a wing position there. Knowing that Bradley Chubb does not have
I thought that, hey, you're the fifth overall pick. You got to get it done versus that tight end. I know exactly what play you're talking about.
But I don't think it's a physical problem. It's a knowledge-based problem because all he had to do was disregard the tight end and stay in the gap. And outside, Darian Stewart was sitting right there to make that play. That's a problem. And then on the next play.
So it's a missed assignment.
It's a big-time missed assignment. And then on the next play, just a simple run at the B gap, but just a three run right at the our defensive tackle, who at the time was Derek Wolf, who did a great job extending the play, getting depth on that guard, knocking him back. And then we have our inside linebacker, Brandon Marshall, can't scrape and get to the front side of the play. There's another 15-yard gain. Two runs, man. 35 throws, 36 yards. That's not going to cut it in this league, and this has nothing to do with tackling.
Hey, I thought we were talking about tackling. So
no,
that is my fault.
Did you see a lot of missed tackles? I didn't see a lot of missed tackles. What I saw was guys
gap control.
That only comes when they know what they're supposed to do and you don't know what you're supposed to do.
Yeah, and that's something that VJ and the defensive coordinator needs to address. They got to – hey, in this league, you know it as well as I know it. When you have missed assignments, you stay up at night. Those used to keep me up at nighttime, the whole missed assignments. Just understanding like, hey, my coach is putting me in the best position to succeed. Now I got to go out there and execute. And you're saying that they had a problem with that. And I agree. If that's what we're talking about. But I thought that's my fault.
That's the only thing. And I know that, you know, and when I heard you Sunday morning talking about it in your game review with John, I was like, man, you know, I'm not seeing the exact same thing because, you know, when you don't know where you're supposed to be or you don't have the physical prowess to get where you're supposed to be, then we have issues. And the Broncos certainly had issues in their run fits. But what also showed up to me is that the Minnesota Vikings came in there ready to play a football game. They came in sharp. They looked like they were a team that knew what they wanted to get done, and they got it done on all levels, on the offensive side, defensive side. And now they didn't get it done on the special team side. But as far as offense and defense goes, don't you think that team looked a lot better than the Denver Broncos?
Yeah, they looked like they were more prepared.
Right.
And
that could be an issue.
But as we know from being out there, the Broncos did little to no game planning.
So what? They didn't either.
How do we know that? We weren't in Minnesota.
How do we know how much game planning we did?
I was out there. That's all I know. I mean, I've been a part of teams where you do
weren't
no,
out there Saturday.
I've been a part of teams where you do no game planning at all.
But
you've
never
game,
but
because
never
you're just
going to
go
Vance
do
Joseph.
What you're going to do.
But you never played for Vance Joseph.
No, I have not.
So you don't know what his mindset was. Maybe they had a few guys
I was out
plays.
There Friday and they weren't doing any game plan.
Well, I'm just saying. you know that that Saturday morning, you may put in four or five plays. This is what they do. Let's just see on. And
but also, Big Al, it's the first preseason game.
Listen,
you don't know how the Minnesota Vikings are going to come out.
Their first preseason game matched our first preseason game.
They blew it out of the water. They played better.
Okay.
As a team, they played better. But
that's
scheme-wise, you cannot scheme for a team on defense and work on these run fits
if you don't
know what this offense is going to play. And because the Minnesota Vikings, this is their first preseason game, we did not know the formations that they're going to come out here and play.
Let me ask you this then. It's a good conversation to have. The first time they showed double wing and they blocked it, and they had a large run, a huge run, 20-plus yards. The next time you come off the sideline, what do you think the defensive coordinator is doing?
You got to adjust.
Okay, we've adjusted.
Yeah.
Okay, so we should not see that kind of success.
It should not happen again.
Okay, we saw that play gash us for another 9 yards a carry the rest of the game. The thing that I took away from that, we can't have double wing, okay? Our outside linebackers and inside guys don't understand their fits. So that's an issue. Now, the first time you see it, they may get you. But to have consistent success with the exact same formation and the same types of plays says that we don't communicate well from our first guys to our second guys to our third guys.
And do you think that's a coaching issue or do you think that's a player issue?
I think it's a coaching issue if you don't know what gap that you're supposed to be in and you're trying to play a one-gap defense. And this is where the big issues happen on teams that have a one-gap defense. A one-gap defense means that we're going to usually put one person in this hole, and that guy is going to be responsible for this area. What happened to us is that we didn't know where our fits were. Are we supposed to be in this hole or are we supposed to be in that hole? And if we got there, did we get there with the kind of aggression that we're supposed to get to? On one play in particular, I saw Zaire Anderson, and you are offensive guard, so I know you saw the play too. I saw Zaire Anderson roll up into the B gap on the left side of the defense, right side, right guard, put him on his helmet. I saw the play and I immediately went, Oh, let me rewind that. Let me see that one again. You saw the same play. That kind of physicality from the Vikings should exist for us as well on the defensive side. Before we even start talking about our offense, we got to talk about what was obviously a problem was our run defense. Vance Joseph talked about it.
Yeah, and I think it's an issue with what you just said earlier. It's, hey, relaying that message to the ones, how we're adjusting, and the twos and the threes being able to understand it. Because
yes.
it's the same exact mistakes that they're making in the game. And here's the issue. It's a preseason. Your ones are going to come off the bench. You're going to sit. You only have a certain amount of bench space, and you have your twos and your threes in the back. And maybe those guys are not paying attention. I think it's a culture thing. I mean, these coaches need to get after these players and discipline these players and let them know there will be consequences. Hey, you're not going to go out there and make this right adjustment that we just talked about. Okay, you're going to sit down for the rest of the game, and you're not going to play no more.
Well, I like it. You know, the defense was a problem. The defense was a problem. We gave up the cookies. I mean, it was a real problem. And coming back on the other side, we got to start talking about the most obvious changes that needs to happen here soon. And I think it's already begun.
Yep.
We have had a change in one room in particular. It's the quarterback room. I'll tell you what it is next.